From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today on Youth Express, a celebration of National Hispanic Heritage Month, a live performance from the Andy Warhol Museum, and a review on the book, Censoring an Iranian Love Story. First up, we make a visit to Bashir High School in Pittsburgh. Bashir's student body is among the most diverse in Pittsburgh, and about 7% of its students identify as Hispanic, more than double of the district's average. Here are the sounds from the school's October 2017 celebration and exploration of Hispanic culture.
My name is Dante, I'm in 12th grade.
Hi, I'm Leslie, I'm in 12th grade.
My name is Moises, and I'm in 11th grade.
My name is Ashley Mendoza, I'm in 12th grade, and I'm Mexican-American.
Hispanic Heritage Month. It's pretty fun. Everybody seems to be having a good time.
I'm Mexican-American, and we do this every year to kind of show the other students a little bit of our culture, just so they can see a little bit more background.
Today, we wanted to spread the joy and just spread the word about heritage, like Hispanic heritage. And we just want to bring more students from different cultures and then different races to come together.
Gives you a chance to be more open-minded and learn about more things than what you're used to. I learned that there's a lot of different Hispanic dances.
Dancing, poetry, there was singing too.
There are people from Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras,
Venezuela, República Dominicana, Ecuador. So yeah, we're really diverse here.
My name is Vivian Varlada. I am a Spanish teacher, and I'm also the sponsor for the Latin American Student Union. You know, we have the big ESL program, so we have a big population of Nepali students, Africans, many countries in Asia, Hispanics. Last year also, we did, for the first time, a big heritage festival. We all try to work together to educate the population.
My name is Darlene Garcia, and I work at the board. So I'm in charge of translation and interpretation services across the district. And I was invited because I used to work here at Bashir. I am from Nicaragua. I always try to be part of this kind of events because it really makes my heart full. It makes me feel like kids are really learning and I'm showing what I know and let them feel that we can make it here, that Ms. Varlora is a teacher, I work at the board, there's another Spanish educational assistant, and we all come from somewhere in Latin America, so the kids do have that opportunity here as well.
For me, being Mexican-American means being able to bring a little bit of Mexico to the United States and show what I am and where I come from.
Being a Bashir Bull means to be part of this school and the system, that you are really able to show where you come from, to feel proud of it, and to be able to educate other classmates, other students.
Being a Bashir Bull is being open to new ideas, being like diverse with other people, and being able to meet new people easily.
We have this event to show everybody that we are not American, but we are still a Bashir Bulls.
Those were students from Bashir High School celebrating their Hispanic culture. Next, we'll be going to Pittsburgh's Andy Warhol Museum during its annual Youth Invasion event. The museum turns itself over entirely to teens for a night of music, art, and conversation. Here's a song recorded live at the most recent event. It's called Electric and is performed by the Lunch Club.
The lightning striking, the lightning is striking, taking advantage of the storm,
taking advantage of the storm.
chest. It's electric, 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 electric. It's electric, 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 electric. You move so quickly. The shock, it brought me back
to life.
You've said many times, it's embedded in my mind. Touch down on my chest. Touch down on my chest. It's electric, 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 electric. It's electric, 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 electric.
Your touch, your feel ignites the spark. Your lightning pulsing in the dark. And this can't be
Our last feature today is a review of the book Censoring an Iranian Love Story, written by Sharir Mandanipour. Students at Oakland Catholic High School in Pittsburgh give a breakdown of the story and discuss the nature of censoring of the arts in Iran.
Welcome to Radio C on Youth Express, recorded live from Oakland Catholic High School. This is Gabby Moran, and I'm a junior here at Oakland Catholic. Joining me is senior and co-host Mara Sheedy, sophomores Isabel Schmieler and Katie Connect, and Zoya Demoshnev, and freshman Marie Gerges.
Today we will be discussing the book Censoring an Iranian Love Story and Differences in Censorship and Freedom Around the World. This novel is a work of fiction telling the story of two lovers, but can also be considered a nonfiction study of how an author must write in order to present context that satisfies preferences of governments who do not employ free speech policies we are lucky to have here in the United States. So Gabby, would you like to give our listeners just a brief synopsis?
Censoring an Iranian Love Story is not only the story of two young people, Dara and Sarah, who met in a library and they ended up exchanging messages with each other through codes every time they would meet in the library. And that actually has strong roots to, I mean, quite literally thousands of years ago in Iran. The poetry was regarded throughout the world as being very cryptic. So that's a note to early Iranian history. So they met there, and it's later revealed that Dara was imprisoned as he was in film school. So it's simply about their expression. And in addition to that, it shows how the author himself learned to censor himself before having it approved by the government, because each page includes three different types of texts, and it'll show what was published in Iran, what he mentally crossed out himself or what he wanted to include originally, and then the parts that the Iranian government did cut out themselves.
I think that's a good way to start it off, Gabby. The group here today, we all read a short excerpt from the book, and it was really interesting to see how it would go from telling this story, and then you'd almost get like the author's interjections, I would say, like about how things are done in Iran and just how he would have to write things that would comply with the government standards. Exactly. So the one part that I read talked about how they were at a political rally at the beginning, and then the author described that as his fiction and storytelling, and then went in to talk about how he made no reference to certain political parties. He didn't support anyone. And that's just how they have to do it in Iran, because you can't openly have freedom of speech. So I think it was kind of interesting to just seeing aspects of that, and then how they portray love too in these types of societies, because obviously here we have a lot more freedom regarding that, and it's very constricted there.
There was even one part that I read about where in Iran, it's illegal for a woman to say, "I love you," to her husband or her spouse. So small things like that even are interesting, how it goes so much farther than this book. I mean, it's one thing to read it, I think, and it's just another thing to think about how this plays out in daily life.
I agree. I think sometimes connecting this global world, how many other countries don't have this freedom of speech that we happen to have. So this is a universal principle. So it's something that we should have. It's a natural right. But the fact that it's abused in some places really sets the tone on how lucky we are, honestly, and that it's not just Iran. There's many other countries, specifically Middle Eastern countries, who have these issues that they have to confront.
The censorship is pretty insane, and the fact that the author, while writing the novel, knew what was going to be cut. A lot of the stuff that the government actually ended up cutting is relating to females and like what a female is saying or wearing. Males have more rights and privileges than females, so we're really lucky that we like go to an all-girls school and we live in a country where, even though men and women aren't completely equal, we've made a lot more progress than some countries have.
As I was doing a little bit of background research, I found this image, and it's from one of the 513 films, foreign films, that Iran has banned or censored in some way. And I think that most of us would look at this first image of a man and woman sitting in a restaurant, and we probably wouldn't think much of it, but it had to be censored because they were sitting too close, for example. So, I mean, this is something that truly transcends into different types of media. But something I want to throw out to the rest of the group is, what do you think prompts censorship?
I absolutely believe it's a fear-based policy, just because we even have banned books in America just because of their explicit content, and parents are fearing that this is going to corrupt their children or corrupt society. So I think the Iranian government is just trying to do the same thing. It's just that they're taking matters to the extreme.
I believe it is a fear-based idea, but also it must be a control thing to show who's in charge, to show that men are in charge, and to show that the government's in charge. And I think it's heartbreaking that people can't express themselves in a way that we're used to doing every day. We're minors, we're women, and we're able to sit here on Youth Express and express ourselves.
It is heartbreaking, like Zoya said, that women can't have the authority that men have in countries like these. And not even for women, but just for writers in general, that they can't even express what they want to say or write. It's just very like hard for people to understand. And I think we as Oakland Catholic students, as we are encouraged to express ourselves and through writing and just in general, is something that we take for granted sometimes. And I think that through stories like these, we can really express what it is to really be a woman or a young lady as a minor, like Zoya said, and being able to talk about things that a lot of people aren't even allowed to even talk about in other countries.
And like, even though there is so much censorship in Iran, it's kind of refreshing to see that the author of like censoring an Iranian love story could publish some of his work, even if it wasn't what he originally intended or wanted. He did get his message out and across, but I'm sure that while writing it and even like after getting it published, he lives in some sort of fear for what the government might do or how they might retaliate against him.
And luckily, that's what organizations like City of Asylum are there for, to protect the rights of those authors and give them resources for publishing, like you said. Think about it. we probably wouldn't know the extent of so many censorship issues if it wasn't for books like this, and it never could have been published had you not published it in the US or possibly in some parts of Europe. But it also, it's an issue that ends up going into journalism, for example. Journalism is a dying art and a dying field in countries like Ethiopia, for example. So it's not necessarily, I guess, a Middle Eastern issue, or it's not an issue that has its roots in Islam, sometimes a misperception that can easily be perceived.
Mandanipur's Censoring an Iranian Love Story is truly an insightful and eye-opening read, and its unique style makes the novel engaging and intriguing.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Youth Express, catch the future.